Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality, and is about discovering your place in this great universe, from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life, and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to be talking about a memoir, What Is Our Life All About? I've been looking at it today and said, oh, I had this list. I checked it off. I got all these things I didn't get done. What happens now? We turn around and we say, what do we look at in retrospect of our life? Has it met all of our qualifications? Are we looking good and pretty? And perhaps now we are the perfection that we wish to attain. What do we do when we have trauma? We have despair, grief, shame, guilt, or any of those other things that we seem to have interacted with in this life. How did we grow up? How did we play out our story, and where are we today? And then, even further, we opened up our past lives books, and it's like, whoa, I can't even handle this lifetime. What am I going to do with all of that other information? How can we just live in the moment, have this experience, and say, I am free now to let it all go and release? Isn't that the story now in 2020? As I call it, the cosmic year, where we are shedding the human paradigm of all the existences and stories, and we no longer need to have that with us. Isn't that so freeing? Today, my guest is Naomi McDonald. Her book is A Way to Me, My Love, A Sheepdog's Tale of Two Lives. Naomi, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Dr. Jeanette, thank you for having me. It's an honor. I'm just so pleased to be here.
Oh, I'm so excited to have you because I can honestly tell you, so many are saying, how did our lives play out? And you so eloquently wrote the story of how your life played out. And sometimes, you know, people are saying that I don't really want to put it into words. I think fear, once we put it into words, has no more power, don't you?
Oh, I believe that. Absolutely. Yes.
Can you tell me why you even thought about a sheepdog? Because I know you had some thoughts in the world how it was going to play out, but yet all of a sudden things seemed to change and shift.
It did. From childhood, I didn't think about sheepdogs. I loved dogs and I loved animals. Mm-hmm. But until I went to my very first sheep herding trial and felt the most profound connection to the dogs and the whistles and the people there and what was going on, I had no idea that it even existed, much less that I wanted to be a part of it.
Yeah. You know, you even wrote all of your story in the book. And, you know, I had looked back on it like instantly in the first few pages and I said, ah, a sheep herding dog is like a father that protects all of the sheep. It helps keep them comfortable. It helps keep them in motion. It helps keep them together. And I kind of think of it as you've written in your book, so many times you've had concerns with your father figures throughout your life. And perhaps maybe that connection was highlighted and maybe it was saying, are you paying attention? Maybe we can show you through a metaphor. And you can release that, yes?
Absolutely. And I love the parallel that you just applied there. Because we're all on a journey in one way or another of self-discovery. And isn't it interesting how I wrote those words?
Right.
And have been doing it for 4 years, and I'm still discovering some of the beauty in what they are. Well,
right,
thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. I think it's really great because as soon as I read your book, it's like on page 7, you said, why was I having a physical and emotional reaction to a simple statement about dogs? And that you had rising fears. And definitely fears and emotions are coming up. I think sometimes if we can recognize it, we say, oh, perhaps they are there for me to dance with them. And don't you think that that's what you did, is you said, maybe I'm looking for comfort and I will be able to work with the dogs? Don't you think in some way your soul had a purpose? Just your human mind was kind of messing you up.
It was. And through this journey, I really learned that my mind can most certainly mess me up and keep me from doing things. Mm-hmm. But when I follow my soul,
yes,
it's never wrong.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, you know what also too, Naomi, you're a little bit older, just as I. And we look back how we grew up and we say, well, why don't we know this before? Did our soul defeat us? Did it escape? Did God, you know, vacate? Are we not having help? Truly what was happening, I think, in the years of maybe 1950s, 60s, and 70s when we grew up, it was necessary to survive then. Maybe that was what we were learning. And maybe only now can we, in retrospect, see all of this. Don't you think when you wrote your story or when you experienced it, it was meant to be just written about and just experienced?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. There seems to be a time and a season for everything.
Right.
And I was just surviving. Okay. It was time to go forward and mm-hmm. start nurturing the spiritual aspect of myself and look at all of that versus just getting by from one day to another.
How did you first start engaging with the sheepdog? And what do you think you started to feel inside when you started to work with him?
I knew from the very moment that I agreed, that I said the words, interestingly, I saw a hummingbird, and I saw how instinctively it was, and I saw how it followed its internal guidance system. And from the very moment I said the words, I'll take the shy one, he took a place in my heart, sight unseen from something said by a friend of a friend.
Mm-hmm.
So he was really sealed there from that very moment. And it just happened to be one obstacle after another that kept us from what I thought was reaching the goal I wanted, is to be a sheep herding competitor, when really what was important for us was every single moment of that journey as we navigated the ups and downs.
Do you think that in a way, when we connect with an experience with an animal, they are not only there for us to help them along their journey, they also help us along ours. In other words, sometimes we always say, that other person, they're supposed to complete me. It's not really about completing, but it is about assisting and supporting and comforting and compassion. Don't you think all of these are emotions and feelings that we're looking for?
We are looking for those in the animals so beautifully. I've been a practicing animal communicator since 2002, and mm-hmm. I have found that there are no accidents as far as the animals that come into our lives. They have a purpose to come in for us, and we always have an opportunity to take that purpose, grow with it, learn from it. Sometimes it doesn't feel good.
Right.
Sometimes it's scary.
Right.
Sometimes it beats us up, but we always have a choice. And they come in and they give us that choice, and it's just the most beautiful thing. And it's synchronistic.
Right. You know, I think if we look at animals, It's because we believe as humans we have to have a, quote, language. In other words, we need to use all of our senses of mind, of ego, identity, of knowing, of words, all of these things to be able to have a firm grasp, so to speak, on the interaction. When you are working with animals, you don't have any of that. You truly need to find something else and tune into something else. And that's into your core being. Don't you think when you work with animals, it's sort of, it's so unconditional. That's why people say, oh, I don't have love in my life at all, but I do love my dog. Well, you have love in your life. It's just you're choosing to be conditional or unconditional, you know? So maybe your human existences are conditional and maybe you're, experiences with your animals are unconditional. Which do you choose? And almost 100% across the board, they will say animals, yes?
Yes, they do. And I really had never thought of it along those lines because I know that we are in our bond with our animals and the joy they bring and the laughter we bring and the different types of maybe not what we feel would be positive emotions. They're there for that purpose to bring those things up. So, like you said, we can dance with them, and we're receiving information from our animals all the time.
What I wanted to touch on for a second, Naomi, what you share about your upbringing, about your mother, about your father's, and about all of these experiences that you had in life, you kind of daintily kind of explored it a little bit. Because, you know, a lot of people say, well, I don't want to hear all that stuff. But sometimes, let's say you maybe have done your own personal work. However, I think there's a lot of women out there now over the age of 50 who are saying, I have all of those too. And they are very, very afraid to speak up and out because there's, as we would say, people with vested interest still around us. In other words, there are those who we still feel if we ever said anything, it would not work out so well. Don't you think sometimes when we connect with others, we want to say, this is my story, this is how it played out, and not feel we're coming from the victim part. However, we're coming to from the point of, it was just an experience, period. And it doesn't have to justify or validate it or anything. It just was. Don't you think?
I think so. And I mentioned in the introduction that when my friend said, you know, this is the true story of you and your dog, I really think you should put some of your childhood experiences in here. And I had never shared those with her. But actually, in the writing of the book, one of my clients raised boxer dogs. She was an AKC judge, but she was also a screenwriter. And I sent her the manuscript, and she came back, and she says, you know, this is a lovely story, and I love the bond between you and your dog, but I have to tell you, I don't know enough about you not to be angry at you about this. And what she did was she stunned me into looking at my life and at situations that I didn't want to.
Right. Right.
And I found that the stories were not hard to write as far as what happened because they formed me. They formed me in who I was. And what I wanted to portray was what you were talking about, not from a victim standpoint.
Right. Right.
But from a looking at openly standpoint, I'm not holding on to the story. This was here. This is where it led me. And this is how I'm better from it.
You know, absolutely. Because, you know, so many times I share on this radio show about all of my experiences in my life and they'd say, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry for all your suffering. And I'll say, I don't really know what suffering means. I don't know what that means. It was just my experience. It is what it was. And they're like, oh, but for all of that, you've gone through all that you had to carry. And I'm thinking, you know what? Then they must have something that they may need to think about or consider because I'm not carrying anything. I carry a very small purse. I don't carry minutia around with me, you know. I don't worry about stuff. I could wear probably the same three pairs of clothes for the entire year like I did last year and didn't even notice. It didn't even register with me. It wasn't a big deal. I think the idea is that once we are able to bring things into the light, they lose their power. Maybe they'll grow some petals. Maybe they might turn a different shade of hope. Don't you think hope is truly where you've brought? And then as you got into hope, you were like, whoa, is this how it works? And then they turned in, and then he had other experiences for you to be able to work through, yes?
Oh, sure. And it's interesting because the whole journey with him was guided in the way to guide me to do that. And then the 4-year writing process was just an expansion of the different things that I learned. And it was all a blessing.
Do you think that, Sue, and I had written on the book, is that, you know, dogs keep sheep, quote, in line. Others, you turn around and they say that value of work and loss of home. When we look at it, you speak about your military father. Do you think that sometimes we have to reflect and say, where is the sense of value, of work, of belonging, of being cared for, of being kept in line? Are all of these coming from my father? And maybe that was a sight maybe on the left of the paradigm of your feelings about it. Being a male dog has brought you on the other side and says, oh, but this is how a father can also feel, or this is how I can express my other emotions of a being, be it male or female.
That is so interesting. I had really never thought of it in that way. My father being in the military, especially very young, I always wanted to be the daughter that he would have wanted me to be. I always tried to measure up as to who or what that I should have been in his eyes. In reality, I could have never, no matter what I had done, but the absolute love and devotion that I strove for, needed, or thought I needed in my soul actually almost came through in the male figure of Luke, who taught me, who I grew with, who I knew that no matter what, we were growing together and being together, and I didn't have to be, toward the end, I didn't have to be any particular thing, a good sheep herder, to have that feeling and in that compassion. And I think in the long run, I had it for myself.
Well, I think also, too, the idea is that we see, have relationships with human beings, and it's male or it's female, it's father, it's mother, it's brother, it's sister, whatever. And we see it sometimes as authoritative, and we want to become that because we see that perhaps that's what being strong is about, what strength is about. And then when you go and you move over to working with your dog, Luke, you say, oh, this is what tender touch is about. This is what quiet and peace is about. This is what silence and emotion and love is all about. It's really, I think, sometimes when we look at our entire life in retrospect, we're saying, look at all of these emotions I was taught at every single level by so many different aspects of my life. Isn't that really cool? Don't you think that by writing the book, again, the book is A Way to Me, My Love, that really you can go back now into your book and see, where's the emotion? What did I feel? How did that play out?
Yes, that is so absolutely true. And it let each one of those emotions come to the surface in the feelings that I might have not been able to create within myself from another source.
Right.
So that was you pointing out gifts that I didn't realize was there.
And I think, in essence, isn't that what our purpose is of writing? Because now I'm shedding another light. I'm sharing another aspect from another energy as I am, you know. But I think that's exactly what we are asking of our life. We are saying, I don't need to be rooted in that old energy. How can I bring in light energy? And that's what you and I are doing today, is we're bringing in light energy. Yes?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's just lovely. And then the little extension of that is that things seem to come forward and out when it's time.
Right, right. Yeah,
absolutely. I love the acknowledgement of it.
On your book, also, you talk about, you say, Luke lived alone in a kennel the first 9 months of his life. I promise he would never endure a storm alone in a kennel again. Don't you think that's truly about how you felt you were in a storm in your life and you felt alone?
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Yes. Another one of those revelations.
It's like we want to hold on to the animals and say, I need comfort, you need comfort. Let's join together, right?
Yes.
Yes. You know, it's so interesting when you say about about the sheepdog, you know. And I always think, and instantly popped into my head, sheep, yes, wool. And, you know, my favorite sweater is a wool sweater, you know, knitted like the Irish fishermen used to do. And when I think about those sweaters being able to be knitted so tightly by Irish fishermen, Irish is my legacy. The fishermen just being able to work with their hands. I think of all of the comfort and how all of our cultures and our emotions and what we do together is so weaved together. It's such a beautiful tapestry. And almost when you say those words, I mean, I can feel it right now. I mean, like my body gets warm. It's like it's a wonderful cosmic tapestry. Why do we worry so much about our human existence in our day-to-day stuff?
Yes. And that tapestry is just woven so beautiful. And the threads come along.
Mm-hmm.
The threads come along and we follow them. And we all have histories that we bring forth from different continents and different parts of the world. And each and every one of those have beautiful, beautiful gifts to bring forward like that. And to know that, and when I think of the tapestry and the weaving, if you think about all of that history, our whole entire being is that. And it's so much more than what we are in our physical expression right now.
Right.
So that's right. Where my mind went when you said that, or my heart. I felt it in
right.
my heart. Yes.
And you also shared in your book a prayer that you had written about Mother Earth. We return to you the body of our loved one. And I really think that in essence, at that point, you were linking into a cosmos, a nature spirit connection, and that's where you were expanding even further. Perhaps you hadn't even connected it at the time, but in retrospect, you can see it, yes?
Oh, yes. Yes. That was what felt right. That was my belief. I've always known that we are physical beings, biological beings, having a spiritual expression, and I had heard that. I didn't know the depth of it until I started journeying through this experience, and then it became more prominent. Yes.
Yeah, and even so, I almost really see it as taking it further, is that there is no separation of spiritual or human, is that we are just an essence. So right now we're still stuck in how can we rationalize things. So that's why we see it split off. Eventually we will come to the point where there's just essence and those are all dials or tuning in, like on a radio, and then that existence that you play out. You know, so many times people say, but I want to be so much more. I want to be spiritual. And then they turn around and they aren't taking care of their body, or they aren't paying attention to their loved ones, or they've stuffed all their emotions in a secret box, you know. And we say, is that truly the point? Well, maybe the point is that spiritual part is where you're working today. And next week you'll tune the dial to another phase. And really what I'm hoping that existence will eventually figure out is that those are all just dials on the, you know, on the radio. When we actually transcend all of that, we transfigure into another place where that's cool. We did all of that. Now what next? Yes.
Right. Right. And becoming that balanced being.
Yeah, it's a place of ultimate freedom and potential in the quantum world when, you know, people say, but I don't get it. I don't understand what you aren't supposed to understand. It. You're just supposed to hear and say, and breathe in. And I think that's pretty much when we get to the point we say all is well. You know, we don't have to understand our life. We don't need to know all the metaphors. We don't need to know all the steps that we went through and what we're going through. We just can say, ah, look. Isn't that a great gem? But we still keep moving on. Yes?
Yes. Yes. And I have found that when we find that place of, yes, I'm not engaging with this or that in a judgment where I don't see the bigger picture of everything, mm-hmm. once we understand the bigger picture, then we welcome the things that are presented to us that bring up other things, because right. we know that it's just part of the journey, that it's just breathe in and let it know and know that it is. It's quantum physics, and right. that reaction and that love and that acceptance of it and whatever it is, it's okay.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Naomi, in closing, you wrote at the end of the book that Luke, what it really means is bringer of light. If you look at essence and you say, what is light? Light is a soul. Light is dancing with the energy of all. Light is just lighting up from inside. So really, he may have been bringer of light for himself, for you, but you also had your own light too. I think sometimes we get so misconstrued, we say, I didn't have a light before. I needed someone to bring me light. When in essence, what you both did is brought light into the world versus saying, is someone going to bring it to me so they can fix me, you know? So really, right. The both engagement was bringing light to the world, don't you think?
I really do believe that. And in bringing light was the journey that we took together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And in that journey and in the self-realization and in the joy that came and the freedom that came from that, the actual term bringer of light, I looked it up, it's a biblical term. But the another way to put that would be, as you said, bringer of light or recognizer of light is not really a word, but it's bringing forth light in our own light and recognizing that. So, yes, I think that the way you're putting that is just perfect.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. I think if we can bring it to light, everything that's been our experience, our light, our engagement, our emotions, and then see it and just embrace the moment, that really is kind of a gift we can share with others. So I think your book, A Way to Me, My Love, is a gift to others to say, find light in each page, but find light in self with each page. Don't you think that this is a timeless story of almost everyone?
I believe so. I believe so. And I just adore the way you just put that. It's perfect.
Yes. We are bringing light, Naomi. We are bringing light.
Oh, awesome.
Well, you know, I think your story was absolutely wonderful. And you know what? I love the cover of it. You have a, with the little boy with blonde hair looking at the sheepdogs. How did your father look when he grew up?
Oh, I'm sure just like, oh my goodness, just like that.
Do you see a little boy with blonde hair?
I do. I do. Oh my goodness, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think in essence, isn't it full circle? We say thank you, Father, for all you've given and shown me.
Yes.
And the circle's complete.
Yes. Yes, yes. Yeah.
So just as your physical father in all of his memories and all of the fathers between, and also to the father figure, and your dog Luke, also too has completed the male side that you're able to see, I understand. And isn't that wonderful how there really is no difference of male or female? We all dance within the same. Yes?
Oh, we do. We do. Yes.
Yeah. Kind of lessens up all of those, you know, as we elders think our fathers were this, that, the other, blah, 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 blah. You know, we got all list off a number of attributes that, you know, many people have experienced. And we say, you know, do we hold on to those again or are we willing to let them go? And what you shared today is how you were willing to let them go and close the circle. So, Naomi, I think it was a great time having you today. And I could you please share with the listeners how to find out more information about your work? That would be wonderful.
Oh, yes, yes. It was such an honor to be here, and I thank you. My website is Naomi, B as in boy, McDonald.com. I'm an animal communicator that has been practicing since 2002, and I'm a light body worker and a shaman. Mm-hmm. And my life's goal is to learn as much as I possibly can and to help others see their own light and their own beauty within. My book, Away to Me, My Love, A Sheepdog's Tale of Two Lives, is available on my website. If you order it through the website, I can autograph it, or all of the major booksellers, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and that in those type of places.
Well, very good. It was such a pleasure to have you with us here today, Naomi, to share your story. So many are looking how to be able to eke out some of the stuck energy within them, and I think this is a great start. So I thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Oh,
and insightful.
You're so welcome as we shine the light on all, yes?
Yes.
If you'd like to find out more information about Naomi McDonald, again, her book is Away to Me, My Love, A Sheepdog's Tale of Two Lives. Please do click on the link on the bottom of today's show page for more information and go directly to her website. It truly is about how can we hear stories of lives, of souls, of energy, and say, I'm awakening, I'm sparkling, I'm feeling something inside. Take it on a journey, see where it goes. It's only going to take you to light, freedom, and expansion. And isn't that the glorious dance our soul has been speaking? Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and until tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family. Clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.